In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The gospel we have heard this morning, whether we know it or not, is an extremely difficult pericope, section from the Gospel according to St. Luke. It is difficult, first of all, because of its content, and secondly, it is difficult, and the content is related to the difficulty of the construction, how this pericope is situated in the Gospel according to St. Luke, how this section of the Gospel unfolds before us. The difficulty rests, first of all, and we have spoken about this before, but we need to review it. The first difficulty has to do with the golden rule. And as you wish that men would do to you, do so to them. How does this golden rule fit in with the rest of what we have heard this morning? In fact, this golden rule is set between these difficult passages which follow it, as well as difficult passages which precede it, such as, "But I say to you that hear, I say to you who are able to hear, love your enemies, be good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you, who manipulate you, to him who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from him who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you," everyone, without discrimination. "And of him who takes away your goods, do not ask them again." And then the golden rule. "And as you wish that men would do to you, do so to them." A key to understanding the application, and we can't avoid the golden rule, but the key to understanding the application of the golden rule rests in what we hear towards the end of this morning's reading. "You will be sons, children of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the selfish. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful." Before looking more closely at this golden rule and how it is applied to this reading, we need to make a quick review of how reciprocity is understood in the time of Jesus, and by the way, how reciprocity works in our time. First of all, what is reciprocity? Just to make sure that we understand one another.
Tit for tat.
Tit for tat. I do something for you.
Yes, tit for tat. Yes, I do something for you. You do something for me. There are, and I referred to this before in the past, but it's good to review. We can look at how reciprocity is applied in everyday life. And by the way, the concept of reciprocity permeates virtually every aspect of daily life, social, economic, even in the religious life. Reciprocity is at work. What is so difficult about this morning's gospel is how Jesus turns reciprocity on its head. There are three ways. If we look at Aristotle in his Nicomachean Ethics, if we look at Seneca, who was the tutor of Emperor Nero, as well as a philosopher, writer, poet, in his Benefices, we get an idea of how reciprocity functions. And there are three ways, and by the way, it's not only Aristotle and Seneca, there are people who have spent enormous amount of time parsing, digging as deeply as possible into this morning's reading. There is tremendous amount of material dealing with
this difficult passage, which we claim and proclaim as the good news, as the gospel, as the words of the Lord that give us life and sustenance. When we look at how reciprocity functions, there are three basic ways. The first is what some would say the general way. I give, I assist the other in the spirit of trust, and we can even extend that, in the spirit of love, expecting not a return in kind, but nevertheless something is expected. Does anyone know what is expected? Think of yourself, I think of myself. What is expected when we give? Not expecting anything in return in kind, but what do we hope for?
Gratitude.
In fact, that is exactly what Seneca says. The first step in this dynamic of reciprocity, the first step in returning the good, the favor that has been bestowed, is gratitude. Then there is the second application of reciprocity. The reciprocity that is linked to a kind of self of goodness. I give to you expecting more than gratitude. I give to you expecting, if not a return in kind, I expect something else. Loyalty. I expect you to help me when I need help. I expect you to stand up for me when I need someone to stand up for me, even if it means you lie for me. Then there's this third application of reciprocity. This is the negative, what is referred to often in the literature as negative reciprocity. An eye for an eye, a life for a life. Where do we hear about this type of reciprocity? Exodus, the Old Testament, life for life, eye for eye, revenge. You harm me, and it is my obligation to harm you in return. So these are basic ways in which reciprocity functions. How it functioned in the time of Jesus, and by the way, how it still functions today in our culture, in our society. Now comes the golden rule. How, for those who have ears to hear, how does Jesus turn this golden rule on its head? The golden rule cannot be avoided. But as I said earlier, the key to understanding the use, the function of the golden rule has to do with being children of the Most High, being merciful as our Father is merciful. The golden rule is precisely that which expects something in return for good that has been bestowed, for an act of kindness that has been shown. We are, according to the golden rule, to treat others as we would have them treat us. There was a very famous rabbi. He was a senior contemporary of our Lord, Rabbi Hillel. And there's a very humorous, but nevertheless poignant story about Rabbi Hillel regarding the golden rule. Does anyone know it? Some people here might be familiar. Rabbi Hillel. He was asked, and it's very funny, he was asked to stand on one foot, which I won't try to do, and then to recite the entire law. So how does Hillel manage this? First of all, he does stand on one foot, and he recites the entire law. How?
Do not do to others what you hate. Everything else, this is also humorous but extremely significant, everything else that is written is commentary. Do not do to others what you yourself hate. That is the summation for Rabbi Hillel of the law. So the law, the golden rule, exists everywhere. But Jesus is expecting this golden rule to be used in a specific way. That is the way God treats each of us. Now keep in mind what we've heard. What precedes the golden rule as it's presented today. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. To him who strikes on the cheek, offer the other. Those who take away your coat, give also your undergarment, the Greek says. Those who take your outer garment, also offer them your undergarment. Give to anyone who begs from you. What does this evoke? Who does this bring to our attention? Who is the one who had enemies because he did good? Our Lord. Who is the one who was hated because he proclaimed himself to be the pre-eternal Word and Son of God? Our Lord. Who are those cursed? Who is the one who was cursed? Our Lord. Who is the one who was abused? Who was beaten? Our Lord. So this application of being sons and daughters of the Father has to be related to our Lord. What he is asking us to do is to be like him. Enter the golden rule. And as you wish that men would do to you, do so to them. First of all, what makes this difficult is that it is in the imperative. This is a command. But the command is not based on the application of the golden rule, as I tried to outline. The application of the golden rule is something else, something much more difficult. We are to be like God in approaching the other. Does God desire that all of us be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth?
Yes.
Yes. Can that be rejected? Yes. I can reject God's love. I can reject God's truth. I can reject God's compassion. God reaches out to all of us, hoping that there will be a response, a positive response, not a negative response. God reaches out to us, not expecting us to raise the dead, not expecting us to do the impossible. But he expects us, and maybe we can say this is impossible, he expects us to be like him, inasmuch as we are able to reach out to the other, knowing the risks that come. We know the risks of reaching out to another, because precisely the other can strike us, the other can abuse us, the other can manipulate us, the other can betray us. And therefore, if indeed the kingdom of God is to be established, if indeed the kingdom of God is to enter into this world, the application of the golden rule has to be turned upside down. The application of the golden rule has to be the application based on how God
approaches each human being. And this indeed is extremely difficult. Extremely difficult. If you love those who love you, what credit? The Greek is more than what credit is that. The Greek is charis. Charis means in this context benefit. What benefit comes of that? What goodness comes of that? What is made good from that? Because even the evil are doing the same to one another. If you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? But even sinners do the same. We are called in this reading this morning to be like God. And the manifestation of being like God is reflected in His Son, Jesus Christ, the one who is betrayed, the one who is abused, the one who has enemies, the one who ultimately ascends the cross for the life of the world and its salvation. So if we are commanded to do unto others as we have them do unto us, all of that has to be related to God's activity here and now. God desires, a great desire, that we show Him gratitude. Not superficial gratitude, but a gratitude in which we become one with Him. And yet we know that that gratitude is often lacking. God desires us to be made new. He reaches out to us in and through His Son and the Holy Spirit, offering us new and eternal life. And yet, we can turn so easily from that life. That reciprocity is not manifest, is not expressed. If anything, instead of reciprocity, there is indifference, carelessness, an inability to perceive, to feel, to comprehend how God is acting in and through each of us this very moment. How God at this very moment is calling us personally and corporately to be the living body of His Son, the living body of His Christ, which is given to the world for its life and salvation. So brothers and sisters, when we hear this reading, when we hear this golden rule is not just a concept, that's not a problem we have within our culture. I'll be good to the person next to me because I want that person to be good to me, but often the other is depersonalized. This is just a thought, an idea. On the contrary, the gospel is commanding us to have real contact with the other. And yet we know, and here we have to apply discernment, wisdom. Have to apply that discernment and wisdom to know precisely how to draw near to the other, how to draw near to the other and to reveal to the other that we are indeed children of God and that that person is also a child of God, called